Welcome, my friend. This is Dr. Errol Gluck, your master problem solver of Gluck Solutions. Today we are in a particular interesting place. Every Friday people tune in to hear my show. And there is no way that I am going to let you down. So I am going to have a stream of consciousness that hopefully addresses everything that you never or ever wanted to hear about life. So let's just start with what I always tell my clients when they first come in. The first thing that I tell people is that you deserve to be happy. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that you're such a great person, that you've done such amazing things in life? It means that I believe that happy people who've genuinely reached a sense of self-satisfaction, self-awareness, they're not angry with themselves because they have not produced something that they're proud of, that they are in a better position to change other people's lives. And therefore, you have a right to be happy to me means that when people are happy, they are not spending their time being bitter. Bitter people point fingers. Now, this is going to be a very strange and a very beautiful show because I'm going to want my audience to actually tweet this out to get some feedback and to see which of these of you. And I'm going to cover just about every single area that I actually cover with people. I find that most people are simply unhappy because they are so afraid, so petrified of letting someone else down rather than themselves, that they spend their entire life trying to make someone else be proud of them, that they are afflicted with this need for parental approval, where the job of parents, according to Dr. Gluck, is to take a look at the child and say, what is it that I could do for that child to give them wings to fly with their heart desire tells them to fly, regardless if it fulfills the parents' wishes of trying to perpetuate the idea of that we're a happy and successful family. Are there any happy and successful families out there? I am sure there are. I'm not sure there are. What I am sure is there are people who finally have figured out that happiness begins with a commitment to self-realization as to what it is that you want to do in life. And then to realize that there's nothing wrong with facing up to the fact you're not born with the skills. You have to develop them. You have to go to people who are really brilliant. Ask for mentorship. Watch what people do. Don't be jealous. If there is a disease of the soul, you know, it is the Ebola of the soul, it would be jealousy. It would be taking a look at someone else's life and wasting all this time wishing that it was your life. Okay? Not realizing there are a billion self-help books out there, and some of those self-help books make people more and more depressed because they say, I can't do it. Don't, you know what? Take a book, any book that has meaning to you. Underline only those things that have relevance for you, because it doesn't matter what you read, only some things are going to connect. We are all different. We are different emotionally. We're different sexually. Okay? You know, this. People relate differently to food. I'm a foodie. I love food. Like to eat it in small amounts so that I enjoy it more. But at the end of the day, there are people who are indifferent to food. What is it that's going to help you find your passion? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a book right out, bad right out, and write this down. I want you to write your name down. I want you to write all the people who right now that you're trying to please, all the people who you're afraid of their disapprovement of you, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, all the people who that at the end of the day, every single day of your life, you're in a state of anxiety because you don't know whether or not you can make their life better. And realize that what you owe them is your honesty, your committed friendship, your love, but you cannot make anyone happier. Actually, you can't make anyone happy except yourself. When I say happy, what I mean is that if you are making things happening, then you're going to be happy. Movement, psychological and physical movement, is necessary to make things happen. You have to actually do something with your time and with your life. Now, yes, it does take it does take some thought process. So that's why you have the pan in front of you. Ask yourself this: what it is that you're truly afraid of? Most people's fears are in the disappointment or the humiliation of not being good enough. Why do they not feel good enough? Because they're comparing themselves to others. Do you know how many people have come in my office who are really attractive but don't feel attractive, who literally are obsessed with the size of their penis, not realizing that at the end of the day, it is, in fact, the connection between two people that is going to be what is going to make or break a relationship. The hottest sex in the world, people generally don't marry. Okay, you look at people and their girlfriends, and you ask, who is the best kisser? Who is the best lover? Is she your wife? No. Okay, so that's not really the measurement. The measurement is that you want to choose right now, right this second, write down on that paper, are you going to be a leader or a follower? I have news for everybody out there, and it's great news, that this existence that we have here on Earth is an unknown existence. We know that we come, we know that we go. We understand how we come in terms of the process of birth. We know very little about death except that it happens. It happens to everyone. So if it happens to everyone, why would you worry about something before it actually takes place? Why would you pay a bill before it's due? You know, I'm always fascinated by people who worry about paying something that may never happen. They'll worry about getting a disease that's not even in their family or in their genetics, but they'll take the emotional time to worry. I have a newsflash for you guys. I want you to hear this. You want to stay healthy. You want to stay away from the doctor. I want you to realize that everything is a business. Whether it's your lawyer's your friend, your doctor's your friend, they're all in a business that is trying to make money, and they're all going home and trying to figure out their own problems and trying to find out how they could get peace. What I want you to do in this paper is I want you to write down what your goal is for next week, next month, next year, and for your life. I want you to write down that I accept that one day I am going to pass from this world and be somewhere else, and I have no idea where that might be. If you are someone who's religious and you actually have a belief that you're going to be somewhere specific, then write that down. I'm not here to change anybody's belief. In fact, you're entitled to whatever belief you want to have or not have. But if you do believe that this is all a preparation for the next life, then ask yourself, what are you preparing for? Are you improving your character? Are you improving your ability to be empathetic to people? Are you really trying to understand what someone around you is thinking and feeling? That's an interesting question. You know, you see a verse in scripture, it says, you put and you create treasures in a place that cannot be corrupted or decayed. Treasures that you could take with you, wisdom, patience, love. These are things that they're words and people recite them and they're good for a religious service. But the question is, does it resemble your life? And if your life is about, I want to make $1 billion, you know what? Go out there and make $1 billion, because that $1 billion is going to create jobs for everyone. The truth is, we all don't have the answer alone, but collectively, if we are fulfilling our individual destinies, then we do have an answer. And the answer is that our collective destinies leave room for everyone to fulfill their own. We are spending so much time on this planet blocking and sabotaging, being angry, you know, having these negative emotions, pointing fingers, placing blame, okay? You know, thinking that it is one political party or another that is responsible for the decay of this country. I have my political leanings. Most of you who know me personally know exactly what they are. But you know what? Having said that, I don't know whether or not that if I was able to choose a political list of who would run for president, that that would change anything in terms of the world itself. What I do know is this. When I am really honest with myself, when I stop lying to myself and stop trying to be something that I'm not and stick to what I do best. What I do best is I solve problems. Okay? What I do best is what I've done since I'm a kid. Okay? I am at my most comfortable is when someone comes in and they have something they need to change in their life. They want to lose weight. They want to stop smoking. They want to get rid of anxiety. They want to get rid of depression. They want to find a purpose in life. They want to stop being afraid. You know what? They pay me in order to do that for them. And at the end of the day, they're grateful for it because it changes their life. But you know what? It changes my life because that's what makes me tick. I am just fortunate, incredibly fortunate, to have a profession that allows me to pay my bills and heal people. And even then, having said that, there's always an itch to find out what's the next step in life that one needs to take. You know, there's no crime in being ambitious. In fact, being ambitious simply is, it's the desire for more than what one has, but the willingness to work for that which you desire. Now, here's another question. Is there a crime in not being ambitious? And the answer is no. There's no crime in not being ambitious. If you, in fact, say, I want to live a simple life, I want to go to a place where at the end of the day, I'm in a communal setting. We all make sure that we have our fellowship and we have our food and we share it. And you're not jealous of those who have more, nor do you want to take from those who have more to support your life. There's nothing wrong with that either. What is problematic is when you want someone else to pay for the ticket of your dream. You know, you have a dream. It's up to you to pay for that ticket. Okay, now, you have obviously parents, and what parents, everyone here who's listening to me has parents. Some have been involved in their life, some not. Most don't have all that much wisdom to give them. All they have is their own experience, which a generation away becomes almost irrelevant. And we love our parents because we believe somehow that there's this unconditional love thing going on. John's my engineer. You're right here, John. John, do you believe in unconditional love?
I do.
Okay. Now, I don't. So I'm going to ask you this. Tell me when you say unconditional love. Tell me someone who you have unconditional love for.
My grandparents.
Okay. Now, that's tough. I have to now destroy his grandparents. If you found that your grandparents at night were mass murderers, okay, and that they did these horrific things, and would that still allow you to have unconditional love for them?
You know, I'm a weirdo in that sense. I would find it a very strange form of love, but to me, Dr. Gluck, unconditional love is the type of love that you're not allowed to not have, and that you're supposed to have unconditional love for your grandparents and your pet and things like that. So that's a tough one for me. I guess I should say no, though. I think that would freak me out a little.
Okay, so you know what I'm saying? It's interesting. It was really a brilliant answer, because at the end of the idea, at the end of the statement, we don't want to think of certain people doing certain things. Most people don't want to think of their parents having sex. They really don't. Okay, they don't want to think of their grandparents having sex. Okay, I love my pet literally not as much as my children, but like under them. Okay, meaning, you know, it's my family is my wife, my children, and my pet. You know, and after that it is my friends and patients and so on and so forth. But I do believe that anyone could screw up anything if they simply do the wrong thing and cross the line, which is why we need to be so aware. I mean, you take a look at someone that I grew up with, Bill Cosby, you know, and the Cosby Show, and this guy was you know, he was the all-American dad, and now he's smeared all over the papers. It's a smear campaign for a liberal Jew. So do people have unconditional loyalty in politics?
No.
Not at all. And you know what? At the end of the day, life is about politics. Okay? Because politics, on one level, is the way you look at the world and the way that you extract from the world what you need. Now, Can you extract from this world what you need and at the same time add value to others? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to do? John, your job as an engineer, what do you get out of it?
The ability to capture performances that otherwise would not exist. The ability to transmutate something from non-physical into physical, and have it be on the earth forever. That excites me.
You know what? What a great answer. Okay, at the end of the day, John, you leave a footprint. Okay,
a big one.
You leave a footprint. I'm not going to ask what size shoe you are, because you know, there's some women who connect shoes with other body parts, and I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to leave that one alone. Okay, But leaving a footprint is something that I think we all fantasize about. We all fantasize about being the person that everyone does remember for something. You know, did you ever ask yourself, John, who's going to show up at your funeral?
All the time.
And what kind of answers do you get? Who's going to show up at your funeral?
The people that appreciated what I did for them on Earth, I would say. I don't expect every person I know to show up, but at least the people who I tried to do right by. Isn't that the point, I guess?
I think the point should be the ones who actually are glad that you are on this planet.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, and that is such a telltale sign. The people who say, you know what, I am here. I took away from my day because you meant something more to me than breaking the schedule of my of what I would normally do for the day. And I wonder if one's last days, one's funeral, is really a scorecard for what you have accomplished or not accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. I think a lot of people create in silence. I think some people make bigger splashes, and yet the splashes may not be as, I don't know, as noteworthy. Meaning, I have nothing, and I don't know anything about the Kardashians. In fact, Kim, I want you on my show. I want to talk to you face to face. I mean,
me too.
I really want to know how come your family is so famous, because I don't really get it. So I want you to come, you know, on my show and tell me why it is that people have this fixation with you, because there are some things that I really don't understand, the craving for chocolate and why you're famous. Those are the two things that I really want to know an answer for. Now, let's go back to the footprint, John. John, who do you think makes the biggest footprint in life? And was there anyone that you ever wanted to be other than yourself?
Who makes the biggest footprint? And would I rather be anyone other than myself? I don't know if I'd ever rather be anyone other than myself. And I can't say why, but
maybe it is that you like yourself and you like the fact that you say what you mean. You mean what you say. You don't need to really impress anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You haven't reached this political level where you really need followers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that, you know, the idea of being somewhat of a free spirit is kind of, you know, like, nice.
I'd say so, yeah.
See, I just figured out your life.
You figured it all out in one swoop. Although in the interim, I did realize that if I've ever wanted to be anyone other than myself, it would just be a better version of myself now. I don't believe I'm the best version of myself I could be, but I'm happy with who I am and what I turned out as.
Okay, so you know what? Then that is not only a great answer, but that's the question I'm going to ask my listening audience. Are you really the best version of yourself, or do you have to start ripping up that paper and start from scratch? Okay, are you concerned if you have to rip up that paper and start from scratch that you're really going to be on the losing side? If you can accept that one day you are going to leave this existence and go somewhere else, then why are you obsessed and worried about the small things in life? About who is going to continually love you? You can't make people love you. You can't make people loyal to you. You can't make people not cheat on you. You can't make people not lie to you. Why would you spend your time worrying about that? What you can do is ask yourself, what do I want to build? Okay, kids like Erector sets. When you were a kid, what was your favorite toy?
Legos.
See, you like Legos. You like to build.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You know, for me, I loved reading, and I loved to take apart things. Now, granted, I'm Jewish. Everything I took apart, I could never put back together. Okay? So that's not – and you know what? I want for those of you who are from a Jewish background where you have really great hands and you could actually fix things, you know, that is – you know, God bless you. I'm just not one of those guys, you know. Kardashians. Who else do I want on this? So Howard Stern, I'm inviting you to my show, and I'm going to tell you why you fascinate me. I know you've been in therapy like 5 days a week for God knows how many years, and still there's an edge to you. But you know what? I've been kind of watching you for a very long time, and I've seen that. I've seen the viciousness kind of go away a little bit. I really have seen you evolve. You know, I think that you're at the point where you're still trying to figure out who you are and what you're all about, but there's not this need to crush. So even though I don't listen to you all that much, you know, in my office you're always played, I'd like you on the show. I really would like to talk to you, okay? I'd like to see whether or not that, you know, my combination of neuroplasticity, medical hypnosis, and rational cognitive coaching could integrate and do something for your brain that 30 years of therapy hasn't done. But besides the fact, I want the ratings, and if you come on my show, I'm going to get more ratings. I mean, that's kind of call it what it is. Who else, John, should we have on this show?
You know, someone I just thought of in the news the other day, I thought would make a good person to have on the show.
early Alzheimer's doesn't run in your family, does it?
You know, Dr. Gluck, sadly, it actually does run in my family, believe it or not. And I'm having watching it happen right now to someone, actually, very sadly.
No, that really is. You know, I am one who, by the way, also believes that one should live on Earth only as long as one wants to. Okay, I don't think that family should guilt you into living longer than you actually want to enjoy life. I think it's really selfish when people are older and not functional or in pain that their kids or their grandkids say, you know, just do it for me. It's a pretty selfish thing to do. Mm. Okay, but hopefully that you will escape it by creating greater footsteps. You know, I just want to see who else we're going to invite on the show. I want to invite the next president of the United States on the show. And since I don't know who they would be, I want, if you want to run for president of the United States and you really feel you have a platform, it is going to start on Gluck Radio. You are going to announce your candidacy. We are going to rally around, and financially, you don't know how wealthy John is. Neither does anyone else. Okay, and we're going to start supporting that so that we could, you know, kind of vet you and see whether or not the rest of the country wants you. Now, the problem, of course, when you have such a large country is everyone wants something different. So here's something I want everyone to hear. You can't please everyone.
Amen.
Okay, so many people are so anxious. They say to me, I want everyone to like me. I want to make everyone happy. Okay, it's impossible. How can you make people who have different interests, needs, wants, desires happy? You can't make an anarchist and a Republican happy. They have two different agendas. Okay, and whether you agree with one or disagree with another, you need to understand that even a broken clock is right twice a day, which means everyone has a point of view. How are we doing on the rambling side? Pretty good, right?
Pretty good. We're filled up almost an entire show's worth of time.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Okay, who do you want to run for president?
Russell Brand. The actor comedian. It sounds crazy. I joke all the time. I say, if you could pick who would run for president, I would have him and Joe Rogan on the same ticket. But that's a whole different conversation.
See, you know what my conversation would be is that I think that government's responsibility is to protect the sovereignty of its country, of its people.
Agreed.
I think it's to perform the tasks that we cannot perform, you know, such as, you know, whether it's delivering whatever mail is left or, of course, sanitation and police and so on and so forth. But I think that the purpose of government is not to create more government.
Agreed.
Okay, you know, and we have such overcrowded jails. So another show that I want to do is for those I want to have a show. If you're a warrant out there, okay, of a prison, I would like you really on my show, and I want you to explain to me what the heck you're doing, how you could get someone who's coming in who is a part-time criminal, and after 5 or 10 years in your facility, they are an expert criminal. Mm. And maybe you're not to blame, but I'd like to hear from you personally why that's a fact, okay? I don't believe that any person could turn around the country. I believe that evolution is we all have to step up. We all have to come into our own. We all have to admit that we cannot make it without our own personal growth and without allowing others to grow differently than ourselves. Okay. Because you know what, John? You know, the one who has all the answers is a dangerous person. Okay. When you come, by the way, to Dr. Gluck of Gluck Solutions, I have really one thing in mind: to get rid of your blocks, so that you could create your destiny. I have no need to agree with it. I don't, you know, if you want to be the greatest writer on earth, or if you simply want to be able to be on the beach and enjoy it and contemplate and think and pray, it doesn't really matter, because I am not here to tell you that one has value over something else. I'll tell you what doesn't have value. What doesn't have value is doing nothing. Doing absolutely nothing. Okay. You know, we look at things that, you know, TV is changed. Now, John, you're how old? You can tell the age.
I'm 27 years old.
27 years old. Okay, so you know, you haven't grown up on the programs, obviously. You weren't even born. You know, I mean, the programs when I grew up, is there was always a happy ending. Okay, I mean, you know, there was always wisdom given by great parents. You know, today, I never saw a vampire movie, and I in my whole life, I never did. But I still don't understand, why do people like vampire movies?
They like the fantasy of it. I think they like the edginess of it, and I want to think they think that could be their life. They could be the vampire who gets turned around by the pretty girl or something. It's fantasy based thinking to me.
I mean, if you want to suck blood, work for the IRS. I mean, come on, do something you know, do something that at least makes sense. Oh, by the way, fiscally, just so I go on record, okay, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a social liberal, which means that I think that people should stay out of your own business, and I think that we should be in an environment where we are working for the education and the tools to build up what we need to build up to be contributors to the society in which we live in. You know, I love my clients. I really do. I actually feel like I am truly one of the luckiest people alive. I also feel that even at this time, I am always curious about what the next step of life is. Okay, I know this, that I could never ever grow old and not be viable. Old age, you know, hospitals and old age is not for me. You know, would you ever want to be stuck, you know, in a hospital?
No.
Okay. You know, would you want someone to pull the plug or slip you some medicine?
No, I don't plan on it. Hopefully that's not in my cards.
No, okay. So you know, you want to live a long, healthy life. Okay, for those of you, by the way, who feel like every second of life you want to live, even if it's to 110, that's what you should be doing. Mm. But for those of you who feel like, you know what, I wonder what's through the next door, okay, and I'm sick and I'm old and I'm in pain and I have this incurable cancer, you know, your family, don't be selfish and don't be greedy. Let's talk about sex, John.
Okay. It's a mixed bag.
So here's the deal. I believe, and I'm probably in the minority of this, I believe that comfort sex, which is being with someone that you actually love and like and respect and trust and want to be with after you finish your business, is actually more satisfying than like intense experiential sex where at the end of the day you want to throw the person like out and not see them.
Absolutely.
So you would agree with that?
I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. And I think one of the reasons why sex has been so distorted is that sex has become, in this country and around the world, it has become a performance. It has become something that people have to act out and be good at, when in fact you don't know what kind of chemistry is going to happen when you kiss someone, and you don't know what's going to happen if you simply touch the other person's finger or hair. Okay, too much focus on genitalia, you know, not enough focus on the ability to create intimacy, verbal, physical intimacy, that's not necessarily in order to achieve only orgasm. Okay, so I do think that this is also a passing phase. I do think that there should be no shame, by the way, involved in people's sexual preferences or in their sexual orientation. I think that at the end of the day, I'm back to let people live as long as that their life is not interfering with your goals, okay? And that doesn't mean that your children are making you miserable because they're different than you. As long as you can have some sort of control on them, that would be a kind of an interesting thing. The other person that I am inviting to my show is who would I really want on my show? Let me just try to think about this.
You know, Dr. Gluck, I'd love to see you interview Donald Trump, and you could call him out on some of his high and mightiness. That might be one.
I would like Donald Trump, you know, because to me, he's a mixed bag. You know why? You know, the reason why he's a mixed bag is that I don't know how many people could have failed so many times and bankrupt so many companies and still be wealthy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Having said that, I am sure that he works a whole lot harder than I do, and I don't know how someone with so little hair could look like he has so much hair. So these are some of the things that I would also like to know, and my Gluck Radio listeners would like to know that as well. You know, I'm not kidding you when I tell you to every solution there is a problem. I'm not kidding you in making a joke when I tell you that neuroplasticity, the ability to change the brain, when I say that I'm the best that there is, I'm doing this for 40 years and it's been my life, okay? You'd have to really come. Now, you'd really have to come and see whether or not that's true, because if it is true, you're wasting your time by not getting the help. But I love the idea of bringing people on this show, because this show has no boundaries. I think, in fact, you've been the best guest we've had so far, John.
Oh, thanks, Dr.
You
Gluck.
Know, I really do. I think that, you know, some of your answers were just, you know, so sincere. If you were going to shout out to anyone in your family, who would you shout out to?
I'd like to give a shout out to Larissa Green, my lovely girlfriend of 5 years, celebrating our anniversary today.
I want to shout out to my wife Morella, because you know, I am probably one of the most difficult people to actually live with. You know, I mean, I love people and I'm really good humored, but I am definitely not predictable and definitely will always do what I think is best, regardless of whether or not someone else sees it my way. So I think for her putting up with me for all these years, shout out. I want to shout out to my children, because I love them to death. I don't see them as much as I should. I know this is going to be one of the biggest regrets of my life, but you know what? They are the best kids anyone could ever have. Okay. I want to shout out to all those dictators there in Africa, you know, who are stealing, you know, the food. Africa is literally one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest, continents, you know, in the world. And if they were literally genuine people who invested and that country was managed, it would be one of the greatest financial, not only financial, you know, the people are just wonderful. I mean, their spirits, you know, again, there's a lot of atrocities everywhere in the world, but I just think that Africa is an amazing country. So all of you are crooked, all the crooked politicians out there, do yourself a favor. Realize that you could actually have almost as big a footprint as John if you would simply turn around and stop trying to make your bank account wealthier and try to promote the fact that Africa is one of the greatest continents in this world and the people are amazing. So I am inviting any dictator to come to my show, because I would like to have a talk, you know, with this dictator. I also want to have, inviting Putin to come to my show, because at the end of the day, I think that he has some points and I really would like to hear from them directly. After that, all I can tell you is that this has been an unusual day. And John, thank you for being my co-host today.
Dr. Gluck, thanks for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.